Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am delighted to lead us in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes and we're going to start soonish. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair with your feet flat on the floor, if possible, unless that's uncomfortable. In which case, sit in a way that is comfortable. And before we sit, today we're going to visit the fourth of the seven qualities. Is that right? The fourth, yes. Of the dharmic person, the seven qualities of the dharmic person. You don't have to go back and listen to the previous three unless you want to. There will be links in this email. You can jump right in here otherwise. So the seven qualities of the dharmic person, the dharmic person meaning yourself, are qualities that naturally arise through our meditation practice. Whether we are the world's most consistent meditator or the world's least consistent meditator, these qualities will arise at a different rate, certainly, depending on how consistent your practice is, but nonetheless, they arise on their own. The point I'm trying to make is these aren't qualities that you have to try to cultivate. They're things rather that you will notice as your practice progresses, as best you can do, because nobody's perfect. So the first quality was called passionlessness, which doesn't mean uncaringlessness. It means something more like okayness with whatever happens. Not that there aren't things that feel good and things that feel bad, because there certainly are both. But passionlessness means you work with what is presented and you don't try to always push away what you don't want and grab on to what you do want. Or when you do, you experience some passionlessness about the fact that that's what you're doing, because nobody's perfect. The second quality of the dharmic person is called contentment, which is not that wholly different than passionlessness. Contentment means not necessarily, I've got everything I want, so everything's cool. Rather, it means something more like, everything I have is what I want. That's really something interesting to contemplate. And the third quality of the dharmic person, or characteristic, I should say, is called fewer activities, which means you just begin to want to do less. Not that because you become lazy or uncaring, but because you see that much of what we undertake is BS, and you're not that interested in BS anymore. So naturally, you have fewer activities. In the past year, plus, we've all had fewer activities on one level, or not all of us, but many of us, and perhaps have had a chance to experience the benefits of doing less. The fourth quality of the dharmic person, again of seven, is called good conduct, which doesn't mean always acting right necessarily. Rather, good conduct can be defined as on a number of levels. First, it could mean basically taking care of business in your own life, meaning you're not being irresponsible about your life, your commitments, your home, your aspirations, your longings. You're not ignoring yourself. You're not afraid to put in work on making your own life better. Sometimes that can seem like, oh, this is never going to work out. What's the point? Yeah, sure, some days, we all have days like that. But generally speaking, here, good conduct has something to do with, I'm not giving up on myself. I am willing to invest in my life, in my world, in myself, in my wishes, in my hopes, in my dreams, and to care about my fears and my pain. Good, all of that falls under the umbrella of good conduct. I care about myself, not to the exclusion of everyone else, and not out of any sense of arrogance, but rather out of love. I'm willing to do what I can to pacify my world, to bring a sense of order, not perfection, but elegance and dignity to my own personal life. Yeah, maybe I want to help the world be a better place. I'm sure you do. Maybe I have tons of aspirations and ambitions. I know I do. But first, I need to put my own house in order. Pay my bills, clean my space, that kind of thing. So that's one way of looking at good conduct. TCB, taking care of business. Another definition of good conduct is you are willing to bring your meditation practice, your mindfulness awareness practice, into your life. It's not just something you practice on the cushion or chair by placing attention on breath and then when it strays, bringing it back. Rather, you take that capacity into the circumstances of your life by paying attention to what is going on there, to the events that are transpiring, to the people who are speaking to you, to the feelings you have. You're paying attention to those things. And when your attention strays, even into totally reasonable things like, what does this mean? Or what should I do now? Or I wish that hadn't happened. That you let go of all those things, which are thoughts about what is happening. Just as you let go of thoughts in meditation to come back to breath, you let go of thoughts about what is happening to come back to what is happening. That is a profound definition of good conduct and something you absolutely can do because you're practicing it here so that you can do it there. Another dimension of good conduct, and this is the last one I'll mention before we practice together, is it's very broad and very big and very important. And here, good conduct means taking an interest in what is actually happening right now. Whether it feels good, bad, or ugly, you are curious about your own experience. Rather than immediately categorizing this as something I want, something I don't want, you take an interest in what it is, what it means, what it feels like, the fact that you don't know the answers to those questions. So here, I will give you an example. Because you might think, well, I'll take an interest in things that are awesome, but this example is about taking an interest in something that is less than awesome for me. So I am trying to, there's people on my roof doing some roof repair. So I've been working on a new book, tentatively called The Buddhist Enneagram. I have great interest in the Buddha Dharma. That's why we're here. And I also have great and longstanding interest in the Enneagram, which is a system of personality typing, as it's called, but it's more accurate to say it describes 9 ways of being, rather than 9 personality types, but I digress. So I've written books before. I know it's hard. I know a person gets to a point where you're like, I think this might suck. Who am I to say this? Yeah, all of that happens all the time. But all of that is happening all the time with this book on steroids. It's never really taken me more than a year to write a book, but I've been working on this for 2 years. By working on, I mean avoiding. And whenever I sit down to work on it, and I have a deadline coming up, so I really want to get it done, it's painful. I don't know why, my friends. I really don't know why. But just the other day, I realized I don't have any explanation for this. But what I feel when I sit down to write this book is an incredible smackdown of self-loathing. I don't know why. But as soon as I look at the manuscript, I feel revolted. And this is a little bit beyond the normal self-doubt and that all writers have. Who am I to say this? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, cool. That's all par for the course. But this is something different. This is a self-abnegation of a higher order than I've ever experienced. And I really don't know why. And I really don't like it. So the good conduct here is taking an interest in that. Now, taking an interest doesn't mean so that I can solve it and make it go away. Although, trust me, I would love to do both of those things. Rather, taking an interest means just that. Taking an interest. What is this feeling? Where does it live in my body? What might it mean? What is it saying to me? Why is it happening? Where is this going? I don't know. I don't know the answers to any of those questions. But I do know that the alternative, not taking an interest and just trying to shove it aside, well, first of all, it's not an option here. It's too overwhelming. But second of all, that will not work. So taking an interest is not just the intelligent thing to do, I would say. It's sort of the only thing to do. What the hell, man? I don't know what to make of it. I just know that it's happening and that having a sense of warmth within the interest that I take, rather, meaning it's not just clinical, let me diagnose this and prescribe something to make it go away. Again, I wish I could. But let me care about myself, about this thing that I'm calling self-loathing, for lack of a better phrase. Let me care that this is my experience. Not so that anything, but just out of a sense of kindness and friendship toward myself. Good conduct here is caring, which is another way of saying taking an interest or becoming curious about. So wish me luck, my friends, as I wish you luck in whatever you are taking an interest in that's going on in your life right now. And I guess I'll close by saying all of these points about good conduct can actually be a source of joy. Even the things that feel terrible, like self-loathing. Self-loathing is not a source of joy, but one can experience a kind of leaning in to one's experience. This is what's real. This is what's happening. This is what I see. This is what I taste. This is what I hear. This is me right now. This is my life. Right now, I'm alive. This is happening. That brings with it a sense of vitality and joy, whether what is happening is joyful or not. To recognize that you're awake, you're vital, you're alive. You can love. You can feel. You can sense. Those are the foundations of good conduct. So, thank you for listening to me. So, in 2 weeks, we'll talk about the fifth quality. The fifth characteristic of the Dharmic person, which is, I think it's called respect for the teacher, which does not necessarily mean myself. It means capital T teachers, but to be continued in a few weeks. And in the meantime, let's sit in meditation, which is the practice that organically gives rise to all seven of these qualities. Please establish your posture by sitting up straight. And in so doing, you may feel a stronger connection to your inner grace and elegance. Or not. Either way is fine. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. And let yourself feel heavy from the waist down, rooted and strong. and light from the waist up, spacious and uplifted. Let the shoulders relax. And let the whole front body soften. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long and the mouth is closed. But the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. That helps the jaw to relax. And please take delight in not having to say anything, because it is a delight when nothing is asked of you, as is the case right now. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning there's no breathing technique because you already know exactly how to breathe. So just normal breathing. In our practice, the eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or 2.5 meters or less, depending on the distance of your screen or the room that you're in. And one of the reasons the eyes are open is because we're practicing being awake. We're practicing being right here, because right here is where we can experience and manifest good conduct in this world. So here we are. So let there be a sense of receiving through the eyes, rather than seeking through the eyes. At the same time, you're just sitting there, your eyes are open and you're looking down, it's no big deal. And let the forehead relax and the crown of the head reach up a little bit. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which means to feel the body breathe rather than notice the body breathe. There's a subtle difference. Noticing seems to happen between the ears. Feeling happens in the body. So we want to feel the body expand on the inhale and let go on the exhale. And then again, feeling this inhale, this exhale. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. Obviously, that's fine. It's not a problem. And there's no effort to alter that or modify that in any way. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own. You don't really have to do anything about them. Only when you notice that you have become so absorbed in thought that you no longer have any awareness of your breath, then you want to do something. First of all, yay, you just woke up, great, and you see that you're thinking. So the first step is notice and silently label this thinking. Then let go, just let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again. Feeling the body breathe. This is our practice, and we'll sit together in silence for a little while until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's very important. Thank you for practicing with me. I feel that. And thank you for practicing together. Thank you. Till next time.